Now that part of his life is the fruit, if you like, of his life of searching, his life of prayer, his life of the Spirit.
He found God whilst living in a room under a water tank, working with people who had leprosy, or Hansen's disease, as it is now more commonly known. John Bradburn prayed, wrote poetry, and grew in holiness, as Father Liam McCarthy, a Franciscan friar, describes. Father Liam has recently been commissioned to collect information on God's vagabond, as Bradburn liked to call himself. Perhaps one day this information will indicate that the Church should consider canonising this man who lived in the depths of the Zimbabwean bush.
But here we find that life finding an outreach in charity and love and compassion, really the gospel in action. So he spent 10 years up at the settlement and he just loved the lepers. He just loved them. There was a move at that time to give them all numbers, you know, sort of a little medallion with a number. Oh no, they said. They have names. That's Peter and that's John and so on. So we said we'd give them their names. He used to go around at night when they'd be gone to bed and knock at the windows to see they were all right for the night, provide medication for them. Next morning he would bring the Holy Eucharist to them and care for them. He would pray with them. And then he would, in the evening time, he would go to the chapel and pray and play the organ there. He loved the Latin hymns. He loved playing the Tantum Ergo or Salutaris. In fact, he was a great lover of music. He loved music. He was a very artistic person, very artistic. So his love for the lepers then became really phenomenal. It was the outstanding sign of his dedication to the love of God, expressed in his love for the poor and the marginalised, because many were marginalised, living there almost abandoned, really.
The lepers had a champion in John Bradburn. So often he would take their part.
So John Bradburn, anyway, every day he would climb this famous Chagona Mountain. It's a large mountain beside the leper settlement. He would climb that and he would pray the rosary on top of it every day. And his life was surely a life of great prayer. Anyway, there were lots of things happening, and some of the locals now, this is a little bit confusing, but this is part of the story. Some of the local people were perhaps taking the food from the lepers. Some of them were taking some of the clothes that had been sent in for them, and also driving their cattle into the cemetery where the lepers were buried. So, of course, John Bradburn was a man of righteousness and transparency and justice especially. So he became their great defender. You cannot do this, he said. These are our brothers and sisters. And therefore there was a certain amount of animosity towards him, because he spoke for their rights and the justice on their part. The voiceless people finding a voice in John Bradburn.
But this was the period of Zimbabwe's struggle for liberation from apartheid. A white man, living alone and unprotected, would attract the attention of the freedom fighters.
5th of September 1979, 10 years after he had come to Mutemwa, a knock came to the door of his little hut and he was taken out by what we call the Mujibas. These were the scouts for the guerrilla fighters. And they brought him to the caves in the surrounding land, in the fields, in the woods. And there they brought him to face a trial. And the general of the guerrilla fighter said, "This is a good man. He cares for the lepers at Mutemwa. Yes, he's a white man, but he's a good man." And they sent him to another camp. And eventually, some people there, we're told, mocked him and made it very, very hard for him in his suffering and cruelty. Eventually, the commandant said, "Let him go. He is a good man." And they said, "But he now knows where we are, you see. He now knows where the guerrilla fighters are hiding. It's a danger." He said, "No, it's not. Let me go." Well, they said, "Well, okay, we'll let you go to Mozambique and there you can care for the people who have gone across the border." "No," he said, "I want to go back to the lepers. I belong there." So eventually they said, "Okay, if that's what you want, do you know the way there?" "Well, put me on the road to Mutoko," he said, "and I will find my way home." So they brought him to the Mutoko Road. And then as they were crossing a bridge, one of them shot him dead. They shot him in the back of the head, and he lay bleeding on the ground, and he died there.
But something unexpected then happened.
They tried to hide the body in a culvert, but they were not able to lift the body. Lots of things were told, stories of white eagles and birds and sounds of music and all that. So they left the body there. And eventually, Father David Gibbs, Lord of Mercy and his good soul, he was later killed on a motorbike, a great friend of John Bradburn, he came across the body on the road. And he knew then it was John Bradburn. So John actually had written a little request that he wanted to be buried with the lepers whenever he would die in Zimbabwe. And they said at that time it wasn't possible because of the War of Liberation was on. So he was to be buried in Chishuasha, outside Harare, in the lovely cemetery there. So the service was held in the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart in Harare. There's an extraordinary story which I'll share with you. And that is that when the coffin was in the church, drops of blood fell, it seems, from the coffin. And people were alarmed, you know, that the undertaker had not sealed the wounds properly. So they removed the coffin from the church to dress the wounds. And when they opened it, they found that there were no wounds. The wounds had been dried up. So one of the sisters there said, well, why is he not wearing the Franciscan habit? He always wanted that, you know. He wanted to wear the habit of St. Francis. So one of the friars there and then took off his habit and gave it to the sister, and they put it on the body. And they brought the coffin back to the church, and the service continued, the Mass, the Requiem Mass for John Bradburn. It seems then that people often said there were three things that he wanted in life and in death. One was he wanted to work among the lepers, like St. Francis. And secondly, he wanted to be buried in the Franciscan habit. Again, his love for St. Francis. And thirdly, if God ever willed it, to die a martyr. That's all he ever would want. So, in a sense, he got all three. And he's buried now in Chishuasha. And the most amazing thing is that, that's over, what, over 25, nearly 26 years ago, 27 years ago now, 1979. The amazing thing is that every year, at the first weekend of September, thousands go to Mutamwa. Thousands of people. To me, this is the greatest miracle. Here you have an Englishman, a white man, and there he's being honoured and prayed to by countless people of Africa.
Yes, because, you know, I was in Zambia for 12 years, and before I went to Zambia, I had never heard of John Bradburn. But time and again, his name came up, and it was always used with such respect. And whether or not the church decides to promote his cause towards canonization, the overriding impression is that he was a very, very holy man.
Absolutely. He certainly was a very holy person. Now, like a good holy man, he could enjoy himself at recreation and good fun and a good laugh. People tell us that. He had a great sense of humour. And when it came to his relationship with God, deep spiritual life. So he was, if you like, truly human, and the best of humanity finding expression in his love for God and for those around him. Absolutely.
And he certainly used his poetry to express his relationship with God.
Yes, yes.
And I was reading that he used to write his poems down just on a piece of paper, but they very rarely needed to be corrected.
Yes. He used to even write to his mother in poetry. She said, John, write me a letter. No, he always said we must write in poetry. And he loved his poetry. And there has been a lovely little book published now by David Crystal, The Poems of John Randall Bradburn. Beautiful. So he, as you say then, he certainly was a man of God. And the church will look at the case of John Bradburn, you know. And the Archbishop now has asked me, just without any prejudice, just find out all about him. Meet people who knew him. Find out all you can, he said, and report back to me on this, you know. We very often what we call sworn inquiries too, like that people will testify, yeah, this is what I can testify to. And in that way we just await the decision of the church in the end.
Yes, but you're very fortunate because he died so recently. There are many people who knew him personally, which is much easier than looking back over a couple of hundred years
at
somebody.
How right, yes, yeah. Yes, this is so true. There are people alive, but then again, I could number a few who have passed on since. It's very important that these testimonies are gathered, because those who knew him would be of an age now when they'll be moving on, you see. So it is very important to gather what can be gathered, you know.
And his concern for the lepers is a very, very Franciscan thing, because Francis had such a love for people with leprosy himself.
That's right, yeah. Well, this was Francis' story, wasn't it? How he embraced the leper. And today, like in the world, there are so many who may not have the physical illness of leprosy, but have other illnesses and sicknesses and need to be embraced too, to experience that they're not abandoned, but they're welcomed to the hearts of people, you know.
And he did that in a very special way.
He did, yeah, yeah. In fact, the extraordinary thing is what I mentioned earlier, how he would say, you know, I have found my vocation. He, from himself, you know, he journeyed on. I see John Bradburn as a man who allowed himself to be directed by Providence. You know? That was it. He was available to God by a life of prayer, to what God wanted him to do. It reminds me of our own Saint Francis, you know, we're praying before the cross on San Damiano. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the same thing as a person like John Bradburn. What do you want me to do, John Bradburn? And he follows that in a beautiful way. It's like a story. You look back over and you see it all fitting in. But at the time you're not sure what's happening. But it is happening. And God's providence is surrounding us all the time if we are open to deep personal prayer. God will bring us on that journey.